perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to be with you. I'll tell you where I am. I am in Dallas, Texas, at the National Leaders and Ministries Conference here for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. We've been meeting for a few days and having a wonderful conference, and there are so many amazing Catholic speakers that are here we get a chance to talk to. So this is a series of interviews that we're going to be doing with Catholic charismatic personalities. The first one that I have for you is Deacon Ralph Poyo. He is the founder and president of New Evangelization Ministries. You may have heard his name because he is just an awesome evangelist for the Catholic Church. And Deacon Ralph, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here to talk about your journey, your ministry.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my joy.
Yeah, so let's talk just a little bit about your journey to start out. This program is called Young Catholics Respond for a reason. I'm calling young Catholics to respond to the culture of death, and that's out there. That's really what this is all about. And so I know you have a very powerful conversion story. I just kind of want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Gosh, I don't know how far back to go, but probably one of the biggest things when I was a young child growing up in a Hispanic family, we were really big into soccer. My older brothers played, and of course I played against them, and they were very good. And so playing against someone who's always good and bigger and stronger than you forces you to get better quickly. So that enabled me the opportunity to play on teams and compete, and at a young age became relatively skilled. I think at the age of 15, I tried out for the national team for 1600s and made the team.
Yeah.
I think it was safe to say that that soccer was my God at that time. I was a cradle Catholic who basically jumped through the church hoops, went through the motions of getting the sacraments, and, you know, believed that, you know, once you got your sacraments, you're done. You got everything you need that's going to get you to heaven. You just now try to be a good person, and then maybe when you die, you get to be with God. And since soccer wasn't being bad, I thought, perfect, this is what I'm going to throw myself into. But after making that team, the coach informed us that they were cutting the team. They were canceling it because of budget cuts.
Oh, wow.
And it was, of course, imagine a 15-year-old being shocked with that, because I was really, I mean, I was spending a lot of time, 4 hours a day, worshiping that false god every day, just kicking a ball up against a wall or training or practicing with a team, local team. And it was cause for me to turn around and ask some bigger questions. Why am I here? What's the real purpose of my life? I put all my eggs in that basket. I learned a powerful lesson, and that was that if you place your value and worth as an individual on any one or thing that can be taken from you, you're putting it in the wrong place. So the Lord came and slayed my false god, and really just positioned me with other people to begin to just start asking the question, who do I believe Jesus to really be? Is he just a biblical character of the past and has no present importance or relevance, which a lot of people today believe, or is he actually real? And I didn't know, to be honest. I didn't know. I started to date this girl in high school. She was really cute, and, you know, the Lord uses all things.
Yeah.
And used her, and she was a good Catholic girl, and she tried to get me to go back to Mass, but I didn't want to go. I'd been there, done that. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
No relevance for me. So she got me involved in another group, a Protestant parachurch group, and we got to do, of all things, this amazing haunted house for 9 glorious nights. It was huge. Like, imagine a state youth fair kind of level, that big. There was rides. There was all kinds of stuff. It cost $500,000 a year to produce.
Wow.
300 high school students a night had to be the monsters, and I wanted to do that. So
yeah, of course.
For 9 glorious nights, I got to scare the snot out of people. And they did a banquet, and in December of 1979, and at that banquet, that was after 6 months of really getting to know Susan, of course, and this youth minister type evangelist guy named Ron, who really earned the right to be heard. He befriended me, he invested time and energy in me, and therefore earned the right to ask questions after we'd gotten to know each other. And one of his questions was, you know, who do you believe Jesus really is? And I was honest with him. I didn't know. I mean, I believed he was God, I guess, but I had no conviction of that at all. It was just, I don't know, just a belief just because of, I thought I was a Christian because I wasn't Jewish.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how far out of any serious logical understanding of authentic faith I was. But at that conference, at that banquet that night, they did a program, and the speaker came, and he was phenomenal at really piecing things together and helped me to really look very closely that night. I will say this one thing that really kind of shook my world. I was in, imagine the haunted house is going on with all the sounds, lights and sounds and everything. Yeah. And there's this break room, you can hear all that noise, but you can, there's a little stage and a little microphone and speakers and where the guys would do announcements for all the monsters. And Ron got up to the microphone and he said, "Can I have your attention?" So all the monsters who were taking a break, getting a drink or whatever, stopped quiet and looked at him, and he said, he just said a simple statement. He said, "Good people can go to hell."
Mm.
And then he walked off the stage.
Yeah.
And I went, "What the heck was that?"
Yeah.
And that really kind of, I'm like, well, wait a second, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I mean, I played soccer and I tried to be a good, you know, friend. And does that mean that I can go to hell too? And that opened up again even more questions. Well, who is Jesus? What is salvation? What does that really mean?
Yeah.
What is hell? What is heaven?
Yeah.
So I started asking questions, and so that night was the culmination of me basically, long story short, saying a simple prayer, and that was, "Jesus, here's the deal. I don't really know you."
Yeah.
I mean, I know about you, some things about you, but I don't know you like I know my best friend or knew Susan or Ron or, but the truth is that if you're real, I want you in my life. And he gave me a quick test, because the guy who was running this small group after that, at that banquet, went away and came back with, you know, packets of materials, and he said, "Who wants one?" And one girl across from me snatched one up, and then there was five of us looking at each other going, "You want it? No, I don't want it. You want it? No, I don't
want it." Wow.
And I said, "Well, I just remember saying, if I'm going to be serious about this relationship with Jesus, I should reach out and take that packet." And so I did, and as I was walking back into the doorway, I felt the Holy Spirit enter the top of my head and just go whoosh, whoosh down to my feet, and then whoosh right out my top of my head again. And it felt like I had 100-pound sandbags lifted off my shoulders. It's the weirdest experience. And then from that point on, this soccer jock who barely read to get through high school couldn't put the Bible down. I had a ferocious appetite to read the Word of God, and as I read it, I began to realize this is all about love.
Yeah. And, you know, is when in your journey, because it didn't happen overnight.
No.
It didn't happen overnight. There are so many people out there, I think, that are maybe like halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're like in that limbo stage, like, okay, well, just like you were, right? Jesus, yeah, he might be a guy that might be God, or he might not be. And, you know, what is the key, in your opinion, to understanding Jesus as God? You know, what, like, to somebody who's out there searching, what is the key to understanding Jesus as God?
Well, I think particularly in today's time and day and age, you've got so many people that basically look to feelings as the source of truth. And people are making decisions, eternal decisions, based on 100 years of life on earth. And everything is based on, well, what's in it for me? How good is it? How does it make me feel? Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. But the truth is frankly, we're not making logical decisions. We're not investigating. Like, I had one student come up to me when I was a youth minister years later, and I was visiting another kid, and his friend came up and he said, "Oh, you guys are talking about Jesus." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, I don't believe in God." I said, "Really?" He says, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, tell me about this God that you don't believe in, because I probably won't believe in him either."
Wow.
And in other words, well, tell me who you think God is, because I'm willing to bet that you probably have a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, the real journey is, when you finally get serious enough to say, "Is God real?" and then begin to start investigating and learning. But learning from the right sources, not just from your friend who has his own particular ideas, but going from people who, I mean, the church was established by Jesus Christ for the main purpose of revealing to the rest of the world who Christ is and who God is, right? And so we should go to the church and investigate. We do it with everything else. You know, as you get older, you start looking at jobs, you're going to investigate what kind of job you want to do. And you're going to look at what it's going to take to do that job and what kind of education. So we make those other decisions with everything else in life, but we don't do it with faith.
Do you have any answer why we do that?
Well, I think really underneath us is this rebellion.
Okay.
You know, we all have it. The truth is, we really don't like having anybody else tell us what to do. And so the concept of having a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time, you know, that becomes something that's unnerving for us who wants to be our own God. We want to be in control of our lives. And so I think that rebellion is something that's just at the core of, you know, this callousness of our heart, and that's a whole other thing. I mean, we could go into spiritual warfare and just unpack a whole bunch of that for why we don't pursue God or look for Him. But, you know, we do it everything else. I mean, think about the first time you got your driver's license. You studied for that book. Yeah. Why? Well, you really wanted the license. And so you studied the rules, the laws. And so when the time came for the test, obviously you passed because you got your license. Yeah. Well, we don't study or try to learn about God. Why? Because we really don't see a reason for why we want Him.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important to talk to people who have Him. Mm-hmm. You know, why is Jesus so important to you? What's your relationship like? And that's why testimony for those of us who know the Lord, it's so critical to give.
Yeah. Do you think... the way you kind of put it is, you know, it's almost like challenging God to prove Himself. I mean, is that what some people need to understand that? Like, God, show me that you're real kind of thing?
Well, God does, you know, He does give us that one, test me, you know?
Yeah.
Test me, you know? Yeah. And then the other side, He says, don't test me.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm asking, right? It's like, yeah, is it okay to do that?
Yeah, no, it is. God's a big, He's a big guy. He can handle Himself. Yeah, I think we do need to go and ask Him. And that's why I said it. You know, I did in my request, my prayer. Right. The thing is that God looks into our hearts and He sees exactly what is the intention and desire of our heart. And so in the midst of my testing, my questioning, God, if You're really real, He understood that there was a heart that was longing to know what was true.
Awesome.
You know, and the bottom line is that we're everybody's looking for happiness. Even in our pursuit of sin, is a pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that we were made for so much more and we're settling for less. And we think that sin is gonna make us happy, but we just don't understand how and why we were made for God.
Yeah.
But once we find that out and once we experience the life of His Holy Spirit in us, man, it's a game changer.
Awesome.
Changed my life.
Hey, we can tell. That's awesome. Just for our listeners, you're listening to the voice of Deacon Ralph Pollo. We're going to take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond. We're going to come back and talk with him some more. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. No matter how you're listening to us, whether it's on Light of Life Radio Network or on Breadbox Media, stay right here.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe. For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother,
please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Subscribe to the Patchwork Heart Radio Podcast. We are available on the Apple Podcast, Podbean, TuneIn, Stitcher, and AHA Radio mobile apps by searching for Patchwork Heart Radio. You can also visit patchworkheart.podbean.com to subscribe and listen to every episode of Young Catholics Respond, inspirational talks, and other Catholic media content. Thanks for listening and being a part of our heart.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. We are talking with Deacon Ralph Poyo. He is the founder and president of New Evangelization Ministries, and he is just talking to us all about his personal journey, but also how that relates to young people searching for Christ in the world today. And you know, Deacon, I kind of want to transition a little bit into, you know, what young pastors can do out there to help inspire people, young pastors, young church people, even young youth ministers that are out there, right? Because, you know, people are coming to the church for Mass. They're coming with half a heart. They're coming with whatever. But when they show up, we have to kind of answer the call to evangelize them, right? And so how is the best way? How do we do that as church, as young people out there in ministry?
Well, really, the meat and potatoes of authentic evangelization is relational ministry. What we're asking people to do is to make a dramatic life decision, right? To you know, engage in a relationship with Jesus Christ is not just to say, well, I now found a new best friend. It is to give your life over to the person who is God. And if we're going to live the virtue of justice, which is to give to each person what they are due, that requires us to now treat God as God. And that means that He's the rule giver and we are the rule obeyer. And again, as our own gods, we don't like to do that.
Right.
And so what does that mean? It means that we now have to engage individuals in relationship. And the only reason why is because, ask any Christian, they'll tell you, if they're married and they have a profound relationship with Jesus Christ, they're not going to go, and if their marriage is on the rocks, they're not going to go to a stranger and ask advice on what to do with their marriage. We go to people that we know. Why? Because it's the people that we know well, they're the ones that we trust. How can I ever give my life over to a person I don't know? And that's God.
Yeah.
And how can I trust the word of someone else whom I don't know? Right. So if you're going to give me testimony, but I don't know you and I don't have credible, you know, a connection between you and somebody else that I trust, I won't listen to you.
Right.
And so, you know, there used to be a time in the church and we're unfortunately reaping the drawback of that, where we used to say, well, build a program and people will come.
Yeah.
And all we did is just ran programs. And we became so program dependent that we lost the skills of relational one-on-one ministry. And so we're going to regain and rebuild the church one heart at a time. Mm-hmm. Not going to be in groups. And when you look at the models that Jesus gave us, he gave us two models in the scriptures. One was program ministry, right? He did the Sermon on the Mount. So he sat on a hillside and had 5,000 people listening to his message. But he also did relational ministry. Mm-hmm. And he called 12 men to follow him and then used them in his program ministries. But what he did is he invested his life and his heart in those 12 men for 3 years. And when the time came, then he empowered them and sent them off to continue the mission. So his purpose or his goal for spreading the faith and knowledge and understanding of God so that we can be united to his Father has everything to do with relational ministry. That we can sometimes use program to get to know people in relationship, but the lion's share of the work is always in relational ministry. And so making the time, like as a youth minister, I was a youth minister for 23 years, and my wife will tell you that I didn't have a Friday night for 20-something years. Mm-hmm. Why? Because every Friday night I had a church youth group activity. Every Saturday morning we were doing something social or service. Why? Because those became the vehicles through which we got to know the kids. And then once you got to know the kids, you earn the right to be heard. And then you start asking questions about God and teaching them how to open up their hearts to God and then invite God to come. And guess what he does? He shows up.
He shows up.
Amen.
Amen. So how about pastors? Just, you know, give some advice to some pastors out there that are seeing, you know, young people. And, you know, like, What do they need pastors to be? You know, I know that I deal with two, you know, parishes. I know my pastor is split across two parishes, can barely handle, you know, what's going on in the parishes, let alone dedicate that time to youth and to growing the church. So, you know, how best do pastors get youth back?
Well, again, and it's hard because they're coming at a time when so much is being demanded of them. And I work with a lot of pastors as well, and there's just no time for everything. The ministry of presence is absolutely huge. Pastors who recognize that being present and engaging people, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It really is exhausting. And yet it's one of the best ways a pastor can die for his flock. Right? I think what did Francis say? He says, shepherds, I need you to smell like your sheep.
Yeah.
Which means you need to be with your people instead of, you know, coming in for a quick walk by and then go back to the rectory and sit down and watch the football game on TV in the afternoon.
Yeah.
While your people are in your parish, you know. I mean, yes, they need downtime. Yes, they need a break. And some pastors, frankly, need to become really good at doing that, taking a break for themselves or they'll burn out like any staff person will. But again, the ministry of presence is you know, it's amazing when you hear people give testimony about how a particular person impacted them. It's never about what they said.
Yeah.
It's always about how they were. So that's the key, is going back and saying, Holy Spirit, shine a light of your love in my heart and reveal to me the ways that I need to grow in terms of being present to people who are right in front of me in the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm challenged with that, you know, because I bounce around and I'll do a parish mission and you got 15 people that want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And how do you stop and give each person the attentiveness if they're the only person in the room?
Yeah, and that's so hard.
It is. It's incredibly challenging. And again, it's exhausting. But in doing that, I think people learn and recognize, you know, they as I use the phrase again, they earn the right to be heard. Mm-hmm. When you invest in them and they feel invested in, then they begin to look to you for answers.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And you know, that can be challenging for pastors to hear, right? Because you know they're up against so many different things in the parish, right? That they want instant results, they want instant people to come right up to them, and you know, youth groups to be filled with, you know, hundreds of kids right away, all doing different activities, and that's not the case, right?
No, in fact, I think a lot of times one of the traps that occurs, particularly when you're dealing with finance councils and you're looking at the bottom line and whether or not you should hire a youth minister and stuff, and what I find so oftentimes is that what is placed on a youth ministry program is so unrealistic, and so oftentimes a pastor asks me, well, what do you think about this scenario, this situation? My number one go-to question is okay, give me the list of things. Say there's three things that you're asking of your youth minister and or your youth ministry program that justifies a salary to hire a full-time youth minister. And then my question immediately goes back to and says, is your adult community already doing these three things that you're asking of your youth, or your youth minister? And because oftentimes that's what they're saying. They want umpteen number of kids coming to their programs, but they got no adults coming to their programs. And the truth is, and here's the profound truth, is that there is no youth ministry program that will be able to outgrow what the adult community is doing.
Wow.
They can't do it. They can't, because there is no living model going before them to show them what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So if the adults aren't doing it, there's no way in the world the kids are going to do it. If the parents aren't doing it, there's no way the kids are going to do it.
Yeah, that's so true, and that's so hard, you know. But it's those moments, as you were talking about in the first half of the program, Deacon, just about how young people are connected. It's that time. It's that it's that investment. And you might not be able to do it for every single kid.
Right.
But pick one or two. Do you recommend that? Pick one or two that, you know, that you know that you can. I talk often about being the right instrument, because I know I'm not the right instrument for every kid.
Right.
You know, right? Like, you know, I'm not, if a kid needs a spoon and I'm a knife, I'm not the right instrument. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I pray for the spoon to come along, right? And give me the knife to go get the kids who need the knife.
Yeah.
Right? But is that a good approach to take?
It is. And in fact, I tell youth ministers that 50% of their time should really be invested not in youth, but in core team, you know, the other volunteers.
Yeah.
Because you want to multiply yourself in them, and they will touch people you never could. So it's true. So at a Friday night activity, what I would do is I'd say, okay, I'm going ice skating. Lord, bring of the people that show up that night, because you never quite know who's coming.
Yeah.
Bring to my mind the three people that you want me to invest in tonight. And sometimes, frequently, particularly beginning of the year, it's always new people.
Uh-huh.
But also other people who you've been cultivating relationships with.
Yeah.
And those nights become, you know, I mean, you're there with a whole group, but you make it a point to really connect with those individuals. And again, it's investment. Who are you doing?
Yeah.
It's not just a haphazard thing, but you're actually, you know, looking at, you know, to be honest with you, I would always look for fat people.
Hmm.
Okay, not fat as in the term of, gosh, I'm overweight, but fat as in the terms of F for faithful, A for available, and T for teachable. I would look, because, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this, where you invest a whole year in an individual and then it turns into nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why I began to start looking for fat people. Faithful, available, teachable.
And awesome.
It took me a while to figure that out.
No, Deacon, so awesome. I thank you so much for your time, for your valuable time in being here and talking with me today. I know our listeners have benefited so much from this conversation. In the closing minutes, I want to make sure I get you the opportunity to talk a little bit about your ministry, where people can find you, how you can get out to their parishes and be with them.
Yeah, I would love to. I now, in this ministry, I don't do youth ministry anymore, but I do a lot of adult work, as the Lord has sent me to the adults now. And so I have a ministry called New Evangelization Ministries that you mentioned. My website is NEM, capital N, capital E, capital M, dot training. So instead of it being .com, it's NEM dot training. And there's a calendar there. And so I do a lot of parish missions, a lot of training with parish staff and catechists, and we're going to be eventually developing some training for people in the pew to do personal evangelization.
Awesome.
So we're hoping to bring some new things out shortly, within the next year, I hope.
Awesome. Deacon, thank you so much for your valuable time. I appreciate it beyond prayers, beyond words.
Thank you, my brother. God bless.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program, or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.